You can see why this show syndicated, can't you? It's soon to be expanding to two new cities. As soon as the equipment arrives. Man, doesn't that sum up Miller and Moulton? We have people that actually want us. They each need one piece of equipment. We can't get the equipment to them. I mean, Postal Service, UPS, Amazon, you would think it wouldn't be that hard.
Well, David, I think, you know, the other side of it, too, is that, and I've solicited advertisers on the show before. I mean, there's never a better time because the person who's in charge doesn't bother to invoice anybody who advertises. So I don't know if anybody's ever paid. I really don't.
No, that's true. In fact, here's the deal. Advertise on Miller and Moulton, and you won't get billed for it.
There you go. 21,000 is a text line. I've got a whole afternoon to come see you today.
We're not joking.
No.
No. I mean, there you go. Miller and Moulton expanding, pending two packages arriving in the mail. And advertise now on Miller and Moulton, and we won't bill you. You think we're kidding? We're not. Hour two of Miller and Moulton on this Monday. No Trent. I think once Tiger shot 82 on Saturday, he got all sad.
You know, there's such a difference. We've had two young men work with us here in this act, and both have done a nice job. Felipe was great. But Felipe had a confidence about him and the ability to ask for time off in only ways, to me, people of his age can do. He never felt that work was that important. Kind of like Scottie Scheffler doesn't feel that golf's the most important thing in his life.
It's now fourth. Yeah.
With the birth of the child, he said golf is ranked about fourth on his priority list.
Right. The Masters really got in the way this week for Scottie Scheffler. If you listened to him closely yesterday, it was a pretty big inconvenience.
That's how this job was for Felipe. It was kind of an inconvenience. He liked being on the air. He liked hanging out with us, but he really didn't like getting up at all.
No.
And Trent yesterday had the difference between the two of them is amazing. The two of them are friendly. They get along.
I know.
I think the world of Felipe. I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying something disparaging that I wouldn't say if Felipe was right here. And I think he'd agree with me on that analysis. But Trent yesterday had flight problems.
Uh-huh.
And he called me.
Ugh.
And when I saw the phone ring, I knew exactly what was going on. I'm like, I got to run the board again tomorrow. Trent's not going to make it back.
He ain't called to say, hey, buddy, how's your weekend going?
Exactly. And it was during the second call in which he said, do I need to call David? No, we're good. I'll handle that, because there was a nervousness in his. He felt so horribly about about things that were completely outside of his control.
I'm surprised you didn't say, call David. I haven't called David since 2019. You call David, he'll think you're quitting. My goodness. Besides, what's he going to do about it?
So Trent will be back tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, so we think. I mean, who knows? These lines of storms and flights and delayed, but plus he doesn't have a direct flight. And once that's the case, anything can happen.
But I do find it amazing, David, that Trent's had two little bits of business to do since he's joined us. The one went swimmingly. This one did not. You fly every week.
Twice.
And by and large, have had very little complications with your flights.
Yep.
And this kid can't even get back and forth from Grand Rapids, Michigan over a week.
No, he can't. Nope. On a Sunday. So Trent, he'll be back tomorrow or else. Okay. We told him. We're like, yeah, no, travel stuff happens. You'll be there Tuesday or you don't bother coming back. You know, that's all. No, it's fine. Just, it's 5:30 a.m. Tuesday, or else just stay in Michigan. That's all. No big deal. We'll pack your stuff up. It'll get to you about as conveniently as the part that we're sending to Huntsville and Jacksonville to get on those radio stations. Yeah, we'll send your stuff along with the parts. We'll see what gets where first. So,
don't you kind of want just to switch gears to the NBA here quickly? And I know not everybody loves the NBA, but the play-in game between Miami and Philadelphia, I'm rooting for Philadelphia because don't you just want Miami to get the Celtics in round one?
And Philly to get the Knicks. I mean, if you're the NBA, that's what you're rooting for. I mean, you can't go wrong either way. Knicks in the Heat have so much history. If the Heat win, all right, then they're the seven. They get the Knicks. And then most likely Philly will beat the winner of Chicago, Atlanta. You get Philly, Boston. I mean, you know, they just played last year in the second round. Went seven. The loser fired their coach. Traded away their second best player. So, but I'm with you, Mark. I mean, if I have to draw it up, because we've said it all along, you know, the one team that we think is Boston's kryptonite in the East is Miami for whatever reason. And I don't know how many good games Jimmy Butler's got in him this spring. I really don't.
No, but he might have two or three in a series against Boston. And wouldn't that be interesting if he did?
And wouldn't it be interesting if Miami just split in Boston? Just went up there and got a split and came home.
And for that matter, got another one in Miami, because I could see Miami winning games, you know, 97-95 and losing 111-84.
So, and for that matter, so you got Philly, Miami in a play-in. You've got Zion and LeBron in a play-in out west. And a chance for an elimination game, if Zion and the Pelicans win, of having LeBron against Steph, loser goes home, for the second time in 3 years, by the way. Because they played in a 9-10 game, what was it, 3 years ago? Here's the deal, and I'm not kidding. There's a lot of people that believe the Lakers can beat anybody out west as long as they're not named Denver. And if you're the Lakers, you know, you win the 7-8 game, you're getting Denver. You're getting the one team that has been proven. They own you, man. They own you. Swept you in the conference finals. I think they won every regular season game this year. I mean, you got nothing for them. But you can't mess around, can you? I mean, in the NBA, Mark, let's face it, they throw games all the time in the NBA. They do. But in the regular season, they decide who's going to play who, when, okay? And they're not announcing they're throwing the game, but they set rosters in which, you know, they do it based on matchups. I mean, there's a lot of people that believe, like, the last team Oklahoma City wants to see in the first round is the Lakers. Congratulations, you're the one seed. You get LeBron and Anthony Davis. That ain't a good draw. And you have no playoff experience. And no one, and this is not an opinion, this is a fact, no one gets more calls than the Lakers. No one draws more fouls. No one shoots more free throws. Now, part of it's their style of play, and part of it is reputation. I mean, to me, Oklahoma City this year could be a lot like Cleveland last year. Cleveland was really good and really young. And the Knicks showed up and said, yeah, you guys don't know anything about playoff basketball, do you?
Not a damn thing.
Yeah, pay attention over the next week. We'll teach you. You know, and then the Heat did to the Knicks a week later. They said, oh, you guys think you know about playoff basketball. Pay attention. We'll show you what playoff basketball is really all about.
But who in the West has anything for Denver? Who do you think has the most for Denver?
Well, once again, if styles make a fight, you know, a lot of people think the winner of the Clippers-Mavs series has got something for Denver, just in terms of Styles making a fight. The funny thing is, you know who matches up pretty well with Denver? Minnesota. And if both get out of the first round, they'd play each other in a 2-3 matchup.
It's why we talked about last week how important it was for the T-Wolves to get home court over Denver, which they ended up not getting. Because in that series, that could be the difference.
And instead, you know, Carl Anthony Towns is going to try to come back first round of the playoffs, hasn't played in 6 weeks. You know, that's not ideal. Can he get up to speed and contribute to them winning? Phoenix, a perimeter team. Minnesota, a big team. You know, that's a great Styles make a fight. I mean, listen, the NBA regular season was lousy because so many teams mailed in so many games, quite frankly. I mean, it's the total opposite of the hockey regular season. Hardly anybody mails it in the NHL. Some teams just suck, but they play hard. Like even the Blackhawks, who are they the worst team in the league? They had a third period lead on Carolina last night. Carolina's one of the five best teams in the league. Chicago hasn't had anything to play for since November.
We've watched Montreal do it to Philadelphia as they were down the stretch. We've watched every team in the league. Arizona's had a win or two down the stretch. Yes, David.
So this whole Styles make a fight thing. You know, in hockey, it's the first round. It's goaltending. But, man, I will say the NBA playoffs, fascinating. Like, if you're Orlando in the playoffs, of all the teams that you could pick, you probably would have wanted Indiana. But getting Cleveland's not bad. They're young, and they've had a bunch of injuries, and they haven't proven anything. I mean, Cleveland's only a year ahead of you. Orlando could beat Cleveland. I mean, they ain't going anywhere after that, but they could beat Cleveland. I don't think they will, but they could. We have no idea what we're getting from Milwaukee. We don't know if Giannis is going to play. We don't know if that team's even playing for Doc Rivers or not.
Losing record with Doc. I want them out in the first round. You go get your coach fired that was handpicked. They're winning, but that wasn't good enough. And you go bring in Doc because you think that's the right answer. They've had a losing record since. I would love to see this team bounced in the first round of the playoffs. They deserve it, believe it or not, David, to me.
And I mean, we can get a first round in the East of the Knicks and the Sixers and the Celtics and the Heat. Whew. Sign me up. Miller and Moulton. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
Past the hour, Keith Smith to talk the association coming up in a little more than 15 minutes time. Poll question deals with the association. NBA playoffs get underway technically tomorrow with the play-in. But worst case scenario, they get underway Saturday, just like the Stanley Cup playoffs will get underway on Saturday. Big weekend. So how much of the NBA playoffs are you going to watch? We give you four choices. Mark came up with the choices.
All of it, some of it, just the finals, or none of it?
And I voted all of it.
You're in, aren't you?
I am. I love the play-in concept. I love games with consequences. And Philly-Miami? How much of a difference do you think it is to face New York or to face Boston?
It's monumental. It's a first-round exit or an opportunity to advance in the playoffs. I mean, even for Philadelphia, they will not be a favorite against Boston as well as they are playing. Boston won the East by, what, like 15 games or whatever the hell it was? I mean,
right. Yeah.
This has been a foregone conclusion for a month.
In fact, who clinched first, Scheffler, the Masters, or the Celtics, the East?
Oh, it was the Celtics.
Okay, I mean, Scheffler had that thing clinched with seven holes to go. And once his tee shot on 12 landed on the green, that tournament was over.
What happened first? The Celtics clinched the East or the Marlins were mathematically eliminated from the postseason?
That, unfortunately, Marlins fans, that funny. We know funny, that funny.
Damn.
So, Boy, that escalated quickly, as they say. They're 3-13. So how much of the NBA playoffs are you going to watch? All of it, some of it, just the finals, none of it. There you go. So I voted all of it.
I'll watch some of it because I will not be watching the West. it's just simply too late. You can go through insomnia and try to work your nap schedule in. If I'm staying up late over the course of the next month, it's going to be for hockey overtime.
Well, see, that's the difference between us is that, you know, you're still playing golf. So you strategically don't watch the West Coast stuff because after the show, you have to play golf 2-3 times a week. I don't play golf anymore, so I nap. That's my golf. What's your hobby? Tuesdays and Thursdays, I nap. So, yes, I will be watching out west. Never mind the fact that the hockey playoffs start Saturday. So, 2 months, no sleep at all. For 2 months, nothing. Zip, zilch, nada. And this just in, when it goes to overtime, yes, I watch to the end. The end.
Yeah, Miller and Moulton have a long-established rule about playoff overtime. You either go to bed when regulation's over.
Right.
Or you make the commitment.
Exactly. So you have 12 minutes to make the decision. And you can make it late. You can, you know, when they go to overtime, oh, I'm staying. And then over the next 6, 8, 10 minutes, you're like, oh, I don't know, I'm tired. Okay. But once they come out and they're about ready to drop the puck for overtime, if that TV's still on, then you're up. And I will say the two of us have texted one another. Like, they play a whole first overtime. They get to intermission, and we'll text one another. You still watching? Yep.
Yeah, Miller and Moulton do not have texting late night texting rules when it comes to NHL playoff hockey.
No. It's
because you're hoping the other answers. Because you might need that text back and forth to keep you through the intermission between overtimes 1 and 2. Because trust me, it's hard sometimes.
It is. There is no doubt about it. But, well, we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. And Paula, who goes by Detroit Paula, on X, is in our Twitch chat room. All right. She said something very nice to us yesterday, Mark, on X, in which she said, because of the two of you and having Vern on, especially recently, I feel as if I have gotten to know him. And so it made his goodbye a little more poignant and a little more special. And so, you know, that, I don't know about you, Mark, but once the whole, you know, once Morikawa made his two doubles on 9 and 11, Oberg put it in the water on 11, Homa makes double on 12, once Scheffler put it on the green on 12, I watched for the next hour just to see them go through 16.
You and I both had to shush the household because Mom was over for dinner. Mom likes the Masters, so I wasn't, you know, wasn't worried about her affecting my watchability of the tournament because she's usually in. But my wife and mother started cackling, as I like to say. It's the official bird of Florida. The cackling snowbird, even though they're full-time residents. And the cackle was starting, and I turned around and said, all right, guys, can we keep this to a dull roar for the next 15, 20 minutes, or you guys can go back outside? But Vern's been doing this for 40 years. I'm going to watch him sign off on 16. Is that okay? I can hear you two kibitz all day long after that.
So I was impressed. Vern is emotional. And Vern has been emotional in the past. Like when he signed off doing college football, he kept it together. But there were times during commercials where he was struggling during that final broadcast. All right. I was impressed knowing how emotional Vern is, that Vern kept it together the way he did yesterday. Because I don't know if people remember a year ago when Nick Faldo signed off doing golf for CBS. Faldo was a blubbering fool for a half an hour. I'm not kidding. He just openly was weeping on the air. I mean, it got to the point where it was like, okay, Nick, just enough. You know, go somewhere else. You know, anyway. So Vern kept it together. That's what I was worried about. I wanted him to be Vern to the end, if you know what I mean. You know, because I know him. You know, I was a little more, I was personally invested. I'm like, okay, go, you got to go out as Vern. You know, and he did.
And he got a little emotional, like when they let him kind of send it to break there and there was a little bit of silence, but all in all, he kept it together 40 years at Augusta, and we were able to see that great handshake, which I saw live because I was watching Tiger when he came through 16, and Tiger went over and gave his goodbye to Vern.
I will say, if we had had this Tiger from a human standpoint when he was conquering the world 20 years ago, I mean, because he is, he has evolved here. He's much more human now than he was when he was just an arrogant, you know, seeking missile machine. I mean, you know, now he's human. Last 15 years, you know, a couple car accidents, a divorce, health issues, you know. I mean, he's had more surgeries than Vern. There's a 35-year age difference.
And he's had all of them seemingly in the last few years.
Right. So, but I was glad it ended well. And I was glad it ended with Vern in the tower on 16. So that was cool. And he spent the whole day out there. If you saw, he pulled up a chair next to the tree and watched the morning guys come through. And then he just went up into the tower and spent the day. And it's not easy for him to get into the tower at this age. And so,
yeah, I was going to say, how do they get him in the tower?
Well, there's two towers. There's a low tower and a high tower. He went in the low one. So it wasn't necessarily the perch that he had for most of his run. But they got him in the low one. So that was cool. And yeah, by the way, who do you give 16 to going forward?
Look, I will say, if I were to be critical of the coverage at all, it seems that they just gave every hole to Nance.
Well, they don't have anybody at 15 anymore. So Nance does 15. And they don't have anybody on 13 anymore. So they gave Nance 13.
Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Twenty-two minutes before the hour. Miller and Moulton on this Monday after the Masters. Also, a Monday after the NBA regular season has come to an end. Speaking of the NBA, playoffs get underway with the play-ins tomorrow. Playoffs in full on Saturday. So what's your level of interest in the NBA playoffs? We give you 4 degrees from all of it to not interested and a couple of choices in between. Go to that Mark Miller, the David Moulton, Miller underscore Moulton on X, and vote accordingly. We have somebody who's invested in all of it. Of course, he's paid to do so. He's Keith Smith. He covers the association for Spot Rack, and he's part of YouTube's NBA Front Office Show. Check it out. It's very good. Follow Keith on X at Keith Smith NBA, Keith Smith NBA. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I was invested in all of it long before I was paid to do so. I don't know if those were training years or what, but yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait for it all to get ramped up in the next couple days.
Well, should the Knicks have tanked the second half against the Bulls? I mean, seemingly, you know, half the league tanked yesterday, but, you know, I mean, honestly, Keith, some fascinating matchups here. You know, the Lakers own New Orleans, but if they beat New Orleans again, they get Denver. They can't do anything with Denver. You know, we could go through a series of matchups here that are still fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we've seen the play-in tournament do here is obviously it's helped that the flag lottery odds. We don't have teams tanking the way they used to, where it was game one all the way in the middle of October. You know this team's going to be terrible and not try. Now what we've seen happen with these teams is with the play-in tournament, the teams at the top, when you get in the last couple of days, they can't pull what I call seeding shenanigans, where it is trying to manufacture a matchup because you don't know who you're going to have. And then we had some of the top seeds, especially in the West, up for grabs, so the teams couldn't really angle things there. So yeah, that made for a real fun, you know, last few days of the season, and it makes for interesting playoff matchups as well.
seeding shenanigans. I'm just going to say that one time and not try to do it 10 times quickly because I could lose my job trying to pull that off. All right. Phoenix gets to the six. How big is that from a bad standpoint, from Minnesota's standpoint?
Yeah, huge. The thing with the Suns is, all year long, we kept kind of saying, are they gonna figure this out? Are they going to get all the guys healthy? What's it going to look like? And then we went to, man, this team has this killer closing schedule. Like, they're going to struggle to get out of the play-in tournament. And now, all of a sudden, they go 7-3 over their last 10. Two of those games, they beat Minnesota. Yesterday, they beat Minnesota very easily, very handily. And that is the worst matchup for the Wolves because they have nowhere to put Karl-Anthony Towns. There's not a player to hide on in that Phoenix starting group. There's not a player who is, all right, well, they're kind of sort of big. Minnesota likes to push everybody to shoot mid-rangers. Well, that's where the Suns live. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, even Bradley Beal, they love those mid-range pull-up jump shots and those things. So it's just a really, really bad matchup. That's going to be something where Chris Finch and staff this week are going to have to get in the lab and figure out, how do we want to defend this Phoenix team? Because everything points to Phoenix is going to get what they want offensively, and it's going to be really hard for us.
Does Philadelphia have the best shot at the Celtics in the East? I mean, they haven't lost since Embiid came back. They've won 8 in a row, even though he didn't play all those games. Ironically, if they beat Miami, they'll play the Knicks and not the Celtics. I mean, Keith, this sounds – I don't know when Embiid's going to get hurt again. And there's a part of me that thinks Philly's best shot at Boston might be next week, not a month from now.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. One of the things that with this whole play-in tournament, too, is now these teams come back and you go to the play-in tournament and the top seed are going to sit for a week. And the Celtics' main guys are going to have sat for a week and a half and not played a real game. So that becomes a whole rest versus rust discussion, and how does that work better. But what's going to be interesting with Philly is you hit the nail on the head. If Joel Embiid is healthy, they're a danger to anybody. They can be any team. The problem is he didn't look very good Friday. He tweaked his knee. They sat him out yesterday in a game that they had to win to even try to get out of the play-in tournament. They ended up winning it. But the challenge for them is you're kind of feel like you're walking a tightrope with this guy, where if everything goes good, all right, we can really push and challenge teams. But if there's struggles here with getting them on the court, we're going to have problems even getting through the first round and maybe even through the play-in tournament.
Should Philadelphia take care of Miami? And this goes according to Hoyle. Miami has been Boston's kryptonite. Do they have one more in them against the Celtics, or is this just too much to ask of a Heat team if they play Boston?
Yeah, it's funny. I think, you know, I think the universe is setting us up for Celtics Heat again, because it's just that's what the universe is going to deliver. But what I think is really interesting in this spot is I don't feel like this is the same Heat team that we've seen in years past. Like, everything just seems a little harder for them. It seems like they've got some struggles as far as how they, you know, can score points and all that stuff. That said, they come out and they're playing well. We're in a tight game in game one in the fourth quarter. You know, everybody in Boston collectively is going to be like, here we go again. It's, you know, this is just how this is going to be. And panic level is going to be off the charts. So Miami knows what they need to do against Boston. The other part of it is this is a very different Celtics team from years past. They now have really ways they can attack with Kristaps Porzingis that they didn't have before. Drew Holiday has been a wonderful fit, and their depth is playing much better than it has in years past as well. So you feel like that's a, you know, kind of a rebalancer almost the other way, where it is, all right, even if, you know, we get there, we feel like we can do things differently than we have in the past.
Is Oklahoma City paper mache as a one? I mean, these guys haven't even played a playoff game. What, they, in the 2020, the last time they played a playoff game? I don't know if any of these guys actually played in one. I mean, I know they're the one seed, but they could get the Lakers or the Warriors, for goodness sake, in the first round. I mean, are the Thunder being set up for an early dismissal?
They might be, but they're also really good. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is 100% an MVP candidate. I don't think he'll win, but he deserves to be mentioned. And then you get into, you know, their next group of guys. Chet Holmgren is good. Josh Giddey has played well. They've got pretty good depth, even if they're still trying to sort through. And I don't know that Mark Daigneault knows, all right, these are my, you know, eight guys I'm going to battle with on every night when it really matters. But he'll figure that out. But they're tough. They defend. They really move the ball. They do a good job of varying their attack between shooting and getting downhill. So that's a really good Oklahoma City team. And I think it's probably a year away from being a true contender for them. But they're going to be solid. I don't know that, you know, they're going to be up. But I'm with you. I think a lot of people are going to look at those matchups and talk themselves into the veteran even though they're coming in as the much lower seed.
Is Giannis's injury taking a little of the, not pressure off, but maybe alleviating the pressure from Doc? Because to me, if they lose in the first round or even in the second round, this is a horribly disappointing season from where they were when Doc came on board. He has a losing record with the team, and now the Giannis injury to me can deflect some of that, or will it?
I think it will a little bit. You know, at least he's going to, you know, push it that way and try to you know, push that's, you know, what happened here, and that's, you know, why they fell short, if they do fall short in the early round here. But I think the challenge for the Bucks is, I think the bigger story is, they're not going to want to fire Doc and then be paying four coaches at once, because they're still paying Mike Budenholzer, they're still playing Adrian Griffin, and I don't think they're going to want to play Doc Rivers as well.
Well, let's face it, in the NBA, what ends up happening is that Giannis and Lillard start requesting trades. That's the other thing to watch for if this doesn't go well for the Bucks. All right, is Orlando, and ironically they're playing Cleveland, is Orlando last year's Cleveland? Good young team on the come. They have no idea what they're getting in for, though, in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some truth to that. Teams rarely win their first time through a playoff run. They usually, when they get there the first time as a group, especially if it's a team driven by young players, they don't know what it's like to play the same team 4 to 7 times in a two-week period, and how different that is, how the physicality picks up, how every possession is that much more important. Orlando defends, so they're going to give themselves a chance. Excuse me, but I think their problem is going to be, can they find enough offense to compete? And I think the Cavs are a good matchup for them, because the Cavs aren't an overwhelming offensive team by any means. But in Cleveland now, they're going to draw on, we've been here before, we know what it takes now. And I do think they'll bounce the Magic, but a great step forward season for Orlando, for sure.
Obviously, Boston's a big favorite in the East. Maybe Philadelphia with Embiid can do something there. But in the West, how many teams can win the Western Conference?
I still take Denver over the field in the West. I think the Nuggets are, even though they fell to the 2 seed, I'm not all that worried about it for them. They're still going to be home. They're still the champs. They still know what it takes. But if you told me Dallas made a run out of their series, or if the Clippers had a healthy Kawhi Leonard, that they made a run, I could see that. I think Phoenix is set up now to go on a little bit of a run. Out of their seed, their biggest challenge is going to be, if they can upset Minnesota, can they get through Denver in the second round? But they've been a tough matchup for the Nuggets at times this year. So I still think it's Denver, but there's a handful of other teams that I feel, you know, all right, if we're sitting there in June and they're in the West Finals or pushing to make the NBA Finals, I wouldn't be totally surprised.
Yeah, Keith, I think you hit on it. The winner of that Mavs-Clippers series could be the team that goes on the run to the Western Finals and maybe even beyond. Keith, safe travels. Thanks so much for your time and your insight. Hopefully we can check in later on in the playoffs.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Keith Smith, Spot Rack, okay? Analytics, Spot Rack, SPOTRAC. Check it out. Very interesting. If you're into the association, you probably already know about it. And the NBA front office show on YouTube, which is very good. And he's a part of it. Keith Smith NBA is how you follow him on X.
So he's pretty much got a Boston-Denver final.
Yeah, it sounds like he does, with maybe the Mavs-Clippers winner spoiling things out west, but doesn't have a lot of confidence anybody's going to spoil things in the east. So, hey, listen, ABC would take that. They'll take the Celtics in the final.
Absolutely.
They'd have no problem with that.
And that works out really well no matter who's on the other side.
Right. I mean, you know, just they'd want LeBron and the Lakers to make a run, you know, or Steph and the Warriors to, you know, to give them a month of games. And they would like the Knicks to win two series and lose to Boston in the conference finals if they could draw it up. You know, if you're into choreographing things.
Our poll question is about the NBA playoffs. How much of the NBA playoffs will you watch? All of it, some of it, just the finals, or none of it? And right now, all of it and none of it are battling for first place.
Yeah!
The diehard NBA guy against the anti-NBA guy.
Like it. Like it. Texas death match in the old days. Steel cage. Nobody, all right? You got to climb out the top in order to win this sucker. Nobody's walking through a door. Yeah. All right.
So there's a little association talk for you. We'll do it once in a while during the postseason.
Right. Don't worry, hockey fan. Later on in the week. Oh, it's coming. Don't you kid yourself.
What are they waiting so long to start the playoffs for? I mean, this season should have been over like the NBA. It should have been over on the weekend. We don't need these games this week. Let's move this sucker along, for crying out loud.
I agree. I don't know why they're not done. It's same number of games, and their season starts sooner. So why is it finishing later? And the playoffs are starting the same day, though. I mean, there are going to be some teams that are playing Wednesday. You know, playoffs start Saturday. And this weekend, everybody will play a game one in both the NBA and the NHL.
Do you want to play in the NHL?
No. But you know what's going to happen? Apparently the NHL, Bettman may not do it, but, and we can get into this on the other side. There's serious talk the NHL is going to go to 36 teams.
I'm aware of that.
And once that happens, is 16 playoff teams going to be enough, or are they going to have to do some kind of play-in to get to 16?
There's more revenue in a play-in.
And that's a league that draws the least amount of revenue. So, .. Miller and Moulton.